Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Wildfire Threat by Kathy McDavid. As flames race toward her family's ranch, she must rely on an old enemy. An out-of-control blaze has single mom Raina Kartstetter scrambling to protect her little boy, grandparents, and their cattle. Forest Ranger Aiden Whitley offers his help, but she doesn't want it. Her feelings for him haven't gone away, and neither has the sting of his betrayal. When the wildfire forces the town to evacuate, can they work together in order to survive?
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I have Kathy McDavid. She's a longtime writer, new to romantic suspense, and we are delighted to have her on the show. So welcome, Kathy.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here, really.
Now, your latest book, Wildfire Threat, I think we can all guess what happens in that book. But you were saying that you've had some experience writing about wildfires before. So why don't you talk a little bit about how that experience helped you with this book?
I did a couple books previously for Harlequin for their then American line about hotshots and about wildfires. And actually, why I got interested in that was for many years, we owned a kind of a second home, I guess you would say, a small, I can't really say a cabin, but a home in a place called Young, Arizona. I don't know, it's the most remote town in Arizona. And one year was a really terrible forest wildfire right there in the area. And it came where we were watching it literally from our front porch and smelling the smoke and worried that it would come there. That particular year it didn't, but that gave me the original idea for the first book I did for Harlequin about hotshots. And then about five years later, they actually had the Young fire. And we came very close to losing the property there because it came right to the town. So, you know, that was a subject that was personal to me, you know, and just that the state suffers from drought and has a lot of wildfires, and some of them have been just so disastrous. So, you know, it was something I personally wanted to write about.
Yeah, we were vacationing in Colorado in Breckenridge area in 2017, and you know, we'd never been to Colorado in the summer.
Right.
And people were saying, "Oh, well, I hope you don't have to leave because of the wildfires." Right. We're like,
absolutely.
What?
Yeah, another state.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of states help each other out, not to get into too much of my research, but you know, a lot of states help each other out. So say Arizona has a big fire, California, Colorado, other states will send help. And we send help to other states, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. So now it's these were your first, so the other books you wrote were not romantic suspense. So what about the genre have you enjoyed writing?
A few of the books I did for American did have suspense elements. And when I very first started writing back in the Stone Age and a really long time, my very first published book was a romantic suspense.
Oh, okay. So it's one of your roots.
I love, to this day, it's my absolute favorite genre of romance to read. You know, I just love suspense, and I read a lot of non-romance suspense as well. I mean, I just love it. So I have written it before for Harlequin, usually a little bit lighter suspense elements in those. But the book I'm writing now for Love Inspired Suspense has mining, which will take place in the Superstition Mountains. And that's another suspense element I've done now probably three times in books. Mining, you know, once you do the research, you kind of like to save it and go back and use it again, you know. But I've done a couple of books for Harlequin American back in the day that had mining and illegal mining as an issue, that there was adding a little suspense element to it. So I have dabbled in it. It's not that I didn't do it, but you know, now I'm doing the Love Inspired Suspense and I just love it. I mean, I've done the two books. I'm just started my third and I can't I mean, I'm so happy. I just love writing them. I mean, every day is a joy to sit down and write these things. I'm like, why wasn't I doing this all along?
Yeah. So what about it really? I mean, you say you read it, obviously a lot of us who write, we read our genre because we enjoy it. Well, what is it about it that really speaks to you as a writer?
You know, I love keeping that tension going. I mean, that whole, you know, that's challenging. And as a writer, you know, we can get lazy as we write a lot of books. It just becomes, you know, something I just sit down. And writing for Heartwarming, don't get me wrong, I like writing for Heartwarming. Those are very character-driven stories. And not that the Love and Spike Suspense don't have a lot of, you know, character drive in their stories, but there's still that heavy plot. And as far as, you know, keeping that tension going all the time. And I love thinking of the twists and turns and trying to come up with something different. And my book that'll come out in November of this year, my second Love Inspired, I think the ending will kind of surprise some people because it surprised me. It wasn't my original ending. And I was really torn with how can I get them out of this jam? You know, how do I get, I worked so hard at getting them in that jam. How do I get them out of that jam? You know, and I was really surprised with coming up with that twist and turn. So I just love that, really getting that tension on every page, getting that, you know, excitement always going. I really enjoy it. I enjoy it as a reader and I enjoy it as a writer and trying to come up with it.
Yeah, and, no, I agree. I often think it would be very hard to write straight romance, at least personally, yeah, because I've written really is romantic suspense. And I'm like, I don't know what I'd do if they didn't have some mystery to solve, someone after them, something. Yeah. What would they talk about?
And I like trying to build a romance in a short period of, generally, it seems like a short period of time. Most of the books, they don't happen over months like they can, you know, with a straight romance. And, you know, you're trying to build that romance and all that other stuff happening. And that's challenging too. So just as a writer, you know, I like having to stretch and grow and work a little harder at getting it done. And I feel there's some satisfaction in that as a writer.
Yeah. And you were mentioning being creative in how we reuse things. I mean, there's only so many dangerous situations really that you can put people in, but you need to make it seem fresh and interesting and why this is happening to these characters as opposed to other characters. So I think that's a challenge too. I mean, there's only so many times people can get hit over the head.
Yeah. And actually that was what I put in some of my notes when I was thinking about, you know, doing this and looking at what I was going to talk about is that you can have 1,000, I'm going to, you know, tell 1,000 different writers, you're going to start the book this way and you're going to end the book this way. But how they get there, they're going to come up with 1,000 different stories and 1,000 different people, you know, so that's what makes it really interesting.
Right. Yeah. And even when you have a compressed timeline, like some of our listeners know, Love Inspires Suspense are they're shorter books. So you have to have a more compressed timeline, which is challenging. And even in
it really is. You know, because you still got to build that excitement and you have to have that complete story. And, you know, so yes, it is challenging.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I find that they're a little more, they're a little more stripped down because you're focusing on only one thing, as opposed to some other, if they're longer books, my longer books have some multiple layers and challenging as a writer, but I think fun to kind of play with a smaller set of toys, I guess.
No. And I think, you know, what I read, because I say I read it all the time. I mean, it is generally my go-to where I have to think, oh, I should probably read something else. I mean, it's literally, I have to make myself read something else. They tend to be longer. I agree. Yeah. The books I choose to read personally tend to be longer. So.
Yeah. But I love the way that we can, as writers, we can write different kinds of books. You know, we don't have to write, I mean, we can, if we want to, but it's just been very interesting, to kind of twist those together. So what do you think readers need to know about Wildfire Threat?
Well, you know, it's a kind of I use some familiar tropes with it. So they are sort of enemies to lovers. They do have a history and it's not a, you know, big history, but they knew each other when they were younger, and he did betray the family. And so, you know, there's some bad feelings, but that makes it a little easier when you write those short stories to build that romance quickly. Sometimes I have done it where the one that comes out in November, they didn't know each other beforehand. So that's hard sometimes to really go from 0 to 60 pretty quickly, but they do know each other. So that helps a little bit. So there's that familiar trope. I think there's a lot of good action. I'm going to say, you know, the second half of the book, when the fire really hits and they're, you know, having to get out, I like what I did. I have to say, I felt it was realistic, and I think it's exciting. I think it's really exciting as far as, you know, dealing with the fire, and they're trying to literally save the ranch. I mean, it's a pretty, there's a little bit of personal in that I gave the heroine's grandfather dementia, which adds to the story, obviously. Okay, you can use your imagination. There's a fire. Grandpa has dementia. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You can imagine what goes bad. But, you know, my mother had dementia. Yeah. So that was something personal for me to write about in that book as well. He was not as advanced as my mom was at the end, but, you know, anyways, yeah. But I was, you know, I liked that little, not tribute to her, but I could, you know, put that in there for something special to remember my mother by. So that was nice.
Yeah. You know? I had, one of my stories has an autistic kid in there, and one of our previous foster kids was autistic. So I kind of liked giving that little glimpse into, you know, what life may be like with this child. And
right.
Even though there was danger around, and I actually had some reviewers mark that as a potential trigger.
Because, oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I was a little surprised about that, I guess. But I mean, they were positive reviews, just that if you have autistic kids, he is in some peril. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that is true. So, but it was. But
my son helped me brainstorm this book because he knows a lot about the outdoors. But another thing why this book is so personal to me as well, another reason is he's disabled, and I'm his adult guardian. And so it was just another reason, like, I dedicated the book to him because, you know, he helped me brainstorm it. So I'm like, God, there's so much personal things with this book for me, you know, in many ways, that experiencing the fire, you know, a fire, my state, you know, my son, my mom, like I said, it has a lot of things in there.
Yeah, it does. A real personal. I think that makes it special, you know.
Yeah, it does. For me, it's very special. And I loved every moment of writing that book. I just really enjoyed it. So.
Yeah, and it's your first one in, you know, back in romantic suspense. So. Yeah.
Like I said, I've written a few, but this one was the most, you know. Now the second one that comes out in November has a little bit more, like, there's she's in witness protection. There's a little bit more just. It's not just man against nature. It's a little bit more like cops and robbers stuff.
You know? Oh, we all love cops and robbers stuff. Good guys. Let's let the good guys.
But I don't do police procedure. I'm not that, you know, that takes a lot of research. I'm like, wow, you got to be really accurate with lot of that stuff, and I don't want people writing me going, you know, you didn't get that procedure right.
Yeah, I'm not a girl. I prefer ordinary people and, you know, or extraordinary circumstances.
I like that too. That's a good way to put it. That's what I would call my books: ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. And
you may borrow that. You may have it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Writing it down. Right now.
Well, Kathy, it's been a delight to have you on the show. So thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I hope to be back again sometime.
That'd be great.
In the future.
Yes. You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hammerker, your host, and I've been talking with Kathy McDavid. And you can find out more about her in the notes for this podcast, and also stay tuned for an excerpt from one of her latest romantic suspense books, Wildfire Threat.
Now an excerpt from Wildfire Threat by Kathy McDavid. Pulling his bandana up again to cover his nose and mouth, Aiden trudged toward the pitiful mooing of a distressed cow. The arduous climb caused a pain deep in his chest and triggered another racking cough, which forced him to stop and rest. Raina's horse whinnied as he approached and shifted anxiously in place. He didn't want to be here either.
"Easy, fella. Where's your owner?"
Somewhere close by, the cow mooed again, joined by a barking dog. Aiden pinpointed the sounds. They came from just over the next hill, behind a cluster of juniper trees 50 yards ahead. He made his way there, his breathing beginning to labor. Beyond the trees, the fence appeared, and beyond that, the form of a woman that could only be Raina. Any other day, without dense smoke obscuring the sun, he'd have spotted her much sooner. She stood inside the fence section, her back to Aiden, facing off with a 2, maybe 3-month-old calf. Unaccustomed to humans, the calf spooked at the slightest movement on Raina's part. Nearby, on this side of the fence, his anxious mother snorted and pawed the ground. She wasn't much more used to humans than her offspring. Raina's blue merle cattle dog paced back and forth behind the calf, periodically darting in and nipping a heel. "Stand, Zip!" The dog obeyed and backed off for 3 seconds. When the cow charged the fence, he began barking again, too excited to contain himself. The irate cow trotted off a short distance, her calf following parallel on his side of the fence. They could, Aiden knew, keep this up all day. Raina most certainly had her hands full. He continued his ascent. Rocks and twigs crunched beneath his boots, and spindly branches reached out to scratch his face. With each step, his visibility improved, and the scene took on added clarity. If there weren't a fire threatening to destroy the town, if the person was anyone other than Raina Karstetter, he might have laughed at the antics. But she didn't have a single drop of humor where he was concerned. Not that he blamed her. Emerging from the trees, he called out,
"Got yourself in a jam, I see."
She spun, and in the span of a single heartbeat, her expression changed from alarm to recognition to annoyance. "What are you doing here?"
"Bailing you out of trouble."
Aiden covered the remaining distance to the fence. Zip bounded over to him. Dropping to his belly, he soldier crawled under the lowest rung of barbed wire. Once clear, he squirmed to his feet and danced in circles, yipping at Aiden in a bid for attention. Raina braced her hands on her hips and glared.
"I don't need your help."
Aiden bent and scratched the dog's head. He didn't always get on well with people and preferred to keep his distance. Animals were different. Them he tolerated, even liked. Zip went mad with joy and fell onto his back, begging for a belly rub. Aiden obliged.
"He's a terrible guard dog."
"He's also a terrible judge of character. I'm going to have to work on that with him."
Zip abruptly sprang up, a canine jack-in-the-box. He ran to the cow and resumed barking and nipping. She kicked out with a hind leg, but he was too fast for her. Aiden imagined the dog, despite his young age and playful tendencies, was an excellent herder. Even so, he and Raina hadn't been able to reunite the calf with his mother and get them off the mountain. It happened all the time. Calves were accidentally separated from their mothers. This little guy had likely slipped through a hole in the barbed wire fence and couldn't figure out how to get back. The calf and his mother could have walked on opposite sides of the fence for a few feet, a mile, or days. and nothing would make the cow leave her baby, not even to save herself from a roaring forest fire. As Aiden watched, she leaned into the fence, mindless of the sharp barbs piercing her hide.
"How long you been at this?" he asked Raina. "An hour? Two?"
She didn't answer.
"Cows aren't cooperative to start with, and this half-wild pair even less so. Admit it, you're outmatched."
She looked exhausted. Rounding up stragglers for hours drained a person. Short, honey-brown curls had escaped her ball cap and lay plastered against her damp neck. Grime streaked what little of her face he could see above the scarf she wore for protection, and her normally ramrod straight posture sagged. Aiden grumbled to himself. Daylight was wasting. He had to get Raina out of here, along with the cow and calf, if that's what it took. He used the only leverage he had.
"Your grandmother sent me."
"She sent you?" Raina repeated, her tone skeptical.
"Technically, she called the station asking for help. She's worried sick about you. Says you've been gone since morning. I happen to be in the area."
Raina frowned, resisting with every last ounce of determination she possessed.
"I bet a minute ago you were wishing you had an extra pair of hands."
Aiden extended his.
"Well, here they are. We also both know your grandmother has enough on her plate with your grandfather's condition. You don't need to be adding to her troubles."
He gave Raina another 20 seconds.
"I get you're holding a grudge against me, but now's not the time."
"Fine." She spoke through gritted teeth. Aiden fished his leather gloves from his back pocket and slipped them on. He'd won this first round with Raina. The next one might not be so easy.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.